Happy Father's Day. Oh, you like that one, huh? I practice very hard. But so, Father's Day. What? I've been a father now for 16 years. When I started, and the kids were small, babies, I remember saying this. I even put this on my Facebook status. Fatherhood is awesome. I highly recommend it. It's the best thing in the world. And then after that, now I've been a father for 16 years. I've eaten a lot of humble pies. And I realized fatherhood is tough, man. Do I still recommend it? Yes, but you need to have a strong stomach lah, and a strong wallet. So it ain't cheap, but yes. So there are many different fathers in the Bible. We can talk about Eli. He was a dysfunctional dad. He didn't do nothing when his sons were misbehaving in the temple. He did all kinds of rubbish. He didn't do anything good, but he managed to raise Samuel well. And we can talk about David's father, who when Saul came to look for the next king, he did not even consider David. This son, tak boleh lah. You stay outside there in the fields. He went and recommended all the other sons. We can talk about Abraham, who almost sacrificed Isaac and was an obedient father. But today, I want to talk about a father that Jesus himself talks about. All right? And the text is from Luke 15. Because when Jesus talks about, describes his father, this is he's describing our Heavenly Father. Amen? So the text is from Luke 15. It's a story of the prodigal son. But the title of the message today is The Prodigal, Recklessly Extravagant Father. The Prodigal Father. Prodigal means using money or resources in a reckless, freely way or wasteful extravagance. Recklessly extravagant. The love that our Heavenly Father has for us is recklessly extravagant. We sang that song, you're the reckless love of God. His love over you is reckless. It is wastefully extravagant. In Luke 15, 11, the story goes like that. There was a man, Jesus tells his story, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. The younger son collected everything he had and he set off to a distant country and he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. He went to look for a job, ended up working in a pigsty. He got somebody to hire him and he worked in a pigsty. His job was to feed the pigs and he was starving. He got so hungry, he wanted to eat the pig's food. Okay, he was destitute. It was then when he came to his senses and said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. Now here's the thing. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Amen. So the first point, the prodigal father sees. Amen. See, the son, you have to understand, he came to his senses himself. In the pigsty, in the mud, I better go back to my father's house. I better go back to my father's house. He realized this himself. He did not blame the father. He didn't get bitter. The father should know better why he gave me. He knows I'm going to squander it. He knows I'm young. He knows I don't have the capability to handle this well. He did not blame the father. How many believers behave like this? They get themselves into the pigsty, into a mess, and then they blame God. God, what are you? Why am I in this mess? It's because of you. All this thing happened because of you. But they refuse to change their ways, refuse to give up the old life, but they want to sit there and change. You see, we have to change because God is not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You cannot continue to living in the pigsty and say, Father, you want me, you come to me. It does not work that way. He came to his senses. He came back to the Father. But the best part is, while he was still a long way off, the Father saw him. Amen, church. The father saw him from a long way off. The father never left his position. He sees you from a long way off. While you are off, while you are out there, He sees you. And He's not going to change. We have to change. If situations has not changed for you and you're still sitting there waiting, maybe it's time to come to your senses like the prodigal son. Amen. Aren't we glad that the Father doesn't see us only when we are near? Only when you're near, you come back. When you clean up your act first, you clean up everything that's messy in your life, you come back to us. You see, God is not afraid to see you wherever you are. He created us, mankind, from the dust. He's not afraid to get His hands dirty. You don't need to be clean to come to the Father. From the pigsty, you can come. From wherever you are, you can come. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can a mother forget a child? God says, even if a mother forgets you, I will not forget you. Amen? My dad got saved while he was what? High on drugs, lah. High, walk into a church. I don't know, he understands the message or cannot understand the message. He comes in front for prayer. God touches him. Changes his whole destiny just like that. As he is. God didn't wait for him. Stop your drugs first. Go rehab and come out first. Go for a detox first. I want to see whether you truly repented or not. You read Bible every day or not first. Then only you can come to me. As you are, come to Him. And God changed my father's destiny just like that. And look what the Lord has done. This year, we'll be celebrating our anniversary. Our church is 40 years old. Amen. For one man's obedience, just come to the Father. Our Tamil section pastor, Pastor Guna, was a young man working in the factory somewhere in Chalam. Somebody passed him a leaflet. The leaflet says, Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in spirit, in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said he read that. He's telling me, Jonathan, I read that and I had burdens. I came to church. And then God transformed his life. He's been a pastor in our church also for almost 40 years. Amen? Fantastic. So God, the Father, sees you this morning. While you're near, while you're far off, He sees you. He sees your tears. He sees your burdens. And like the father in the story, He's waiting for you patiently. He's waiting for you to come home. Come to the Father, the recklessly extravagant Father. Lay your burdens at His feet. Amen. Second point, the prodigal father expresses his love. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, kissed him. He embraced him. It's a complete acceptance. He hugs affectionately. He kissed the son. In those days, it was common to kiss people who are close to you, your family members. They kissed you on the cheek. It means total forgiveness, total extravagance, total acceptance. Son, I accept you the way you are. Amen. The late Uncle Risha was the only man, grown man, who would kiss me on my face, on my cheek. And it's sometimes, I told Ravi, sometimes it's a wet kiss. Do I miss the kisses? No. Do I miss the band? Yes. But Ravi, don't get any ideas. Huh? Don't try to replace your father. I'll jab you, I tell you. When I was a child, I must have compassion on Ravi. No, I'm joking. But don't kiss. When I was a child in church, this lady would come and kiss me and then she would bite me on the face. Bite my cheek and I would cry. Very painful. I would cry and I would complain to my parents and my mother would talk to her. Hey, please don't do that. Why you do that? I geram. I won't do anymore. Next Sunday, she does it again. This lady used to bite me on the cheek. I don't know what is wrong with that lady. That is not showing affection. That is showing rabies. I don't know whether my parents took me for a jab after that or not. But this is true story. You know, sometimes I still sit down in the shower and cry. I'm kidding. But anyways, so not common for men to hug another man, to kiss another man, to embrace another man, even fathers and sons. But fathers, sometimes we need to put our ego away. It's just something about the human touch. When we show affection, if you can't love your own family, how are you going to love the lost? If you're not generous with your own blood, how are you going to be generous with people outside? They say generosity begins at home. That's not in the Bible, right? It's a nice phrase. But what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, and even worse than an unbeliever. Alamak. It's talking about your own household, your own children, your own family. It's not talking about some distant relative that says, hey, can bank in some money to me, you know, and that guy doesn't work or what. They want to give him another scripture. A man who does not work does not eat. No need to entertain. But I'm talking about showing affection as men. 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Your own brother you hate, how can you say you love God that you cannot even see? We need to show affection. We need to love. Show affection to our children, dear fathers. Forgive as the Father forgave you. Let go. Embrace them. Fill with compassion. And express your love. Don't say, I pay for your education already enough lah. No need to say I love you. Say the words. Say the words. Words have the power, people. Words have power. Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Meaning, the tongue, our words, can be used to build, can be used to heal. It also can be used to destroy. Use your words wisely. Fathers, even mothers, when you speak over your children, speak wisely. Consider the words. You are speaking over their lives. You don't know, they take it seriously, whatever you say. Speak well of your children. You are talented. You're good with your hands. You play video games, but wow, you finish that level so fast. How do you do it? Speak well of your children. Don't say, my son useless lah, only play games. Every day with the iPad, every day with the phone, they always play games. My daughter never helps around the house, lazy. Change your words. Change your words. Encourage them. There might be other stuff that they are good at. Let them find it. Help them to find it. Amen. Let them channel it towards them. Let them go to the right channels. When we speak well, we can heal, we can build. All of us need to learn this, including me, right? I grew up with a Cantonese grandmother who only speaks Cantonese, 95% Cantonese. And Cantonese is a very rough language, right? Mo kwai yong ah, like a say antawa, all these things. Mo kwai yong is means you're good for nothing. You're useless. Say antawa is it means what? Kepala otak kau. Or English, your head lah. I know a lot more Cantonese words, but cannot say here, censored. All right? All these words are not good. So husbands and wife, how you speak at home, your kids will see and they will learn. Because you like it or not, you are their blueprint. You are the default blueprint. When they learn, they're going to learn from you. Not they learn from pastor, not they learn from Pastor Stephen or me or anybody. They're going to learn from my own parents how they're at home. It's their default. It's like that. So we need to set an example for them. Yeah, amen? Choose our words wisely. Don't gossip, especially in front of the children. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. It means it goes down to the soul. We don't want gossip to go down to the soul. We want good things, positive things, kingdom things. Speak well. Express your love for them. Men, don't have so much ego. Say the words. Say the words. Express your love. Show affection for them. I appreciate you. You're doing great. I'm proud of you. You're good with this. You're good at that. Embrace them. Love them. Show them that you really receive them. Amen. There's a story of David and Absalom. This story is a bit tricky, but I'm going to try my best to explain it as plainly. Now, King David had many wives and many sons from different wives. And his first son was called Amnon. Okay? He was the eldest son. And then from another wife, he had this son called Absalom. Absalom was a handsome guy with long hair. And Absalom had a beautiful sister called Tamar. Now, the first son from a different mother was lusting after Tamar, his own stepsister, half-sister, okay? And he really lusted after her. He said he loved her and all this. So one day, he pretended to be sick and he told the father, send this particular daughter to me, Tamar to me. So Tamar goes and see him and helps him, want to feed him. He rapes her. Okay? He rapes Tamar, his own stepsister. And then the word says he hated her and his hate was more than his love for her. Okay? Now here's the thing. When David found out what had happened, David got so mad. He got so angry. But he did nothing. Nothing. He didn't do anything about it. And Absalom, the handsome Absalom, was very angry, keeping it inside him, and he started to plot. He wanted to take revenge. 2 years later, he plotted, he took revenge, he murdered the eldest son. He murdered his eldest son and he ran away. David, angry again. But what did David do? Nothing. Nothing. So Absalom is hiding somewhere outside there, alone. David does nothing. Let him be by himself. And then Absalom comes back into the city because Joab, one of the army generals who loves Absalom, come back. He comes back. David allows him to stay in the city. He does not punish him. But again, David does nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called silent treatment. Hello? He does nothing to correct the situation. Does not talk to Absalom. Absalom gets so mad. I cut the long story short, and Absalom forces his way through to see the father. And the father, David, finally hugs him and kisses him, and then Absalom goes off. But 3 years after that, Absalom rebels. He gets his own team, everything. He rebels against his father. He wants to kill his father. He wants to go after the whole thing. And cut the long story short, Absalom gets killed in all that. Absalom dies. So, what's this story about? It's about silent treatment. Silent treatment, when they refuse to speak the words, refuse to address the issues. You see, silent treatment does not work. I'm angry with you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to look at your face. I just totally ignore you. That is silent treatment. It does not work. Okay? A man was married for 49 years, so they were interviewing him. What is the secret of your marriage? You've been married for 49 years. He said, well, you need to communicate, love and respect one another, go on trips together. In fact, for our 20th wedding anniversary, we went to China. And for my next year anniversary, I'm going to go back there and pick her up. That's next level silent treatment. So use words to heal, to build, show affection. Correction. David longed for Absalom, but he did not do anything about it. If you long for your son, your daughter, do something about it. Pick up that phone. Send that message. Say the words. Amen. Our time here is limited. We do not know when that moment is going to pass. So don't let the moment passed. The prodigal father, the recklessly extravagant father, expressed his love. He did not give the son the silent treatment. When the son come back, see this guy? Coming back now, huh? Use all your wealth, use all part of your wealth that I have given you. Used it on drinks, used it on prostitutes, you used it and messed up your whole life. Now, no more money, already finished. Now you want to come back to me. I'm not going to talk to you. The father did not do that, man. He ran to him. Before you come to me, I'm coming to you. Full of compassion, full acceptance. What a good God we serve. Amen. Amen. What was the last thing Jesus did before he went to the cross? The last thing Jesus did. He went down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet. He washed all his disciples' feet, one by one. Judas. Takes the cloth. Judas, I know you're going to betray me with a kiss. You're going to kiss me. You're going to send me to my death. But I love you. I'm serving in humility. It's not about you, it's about me. It's about the Father heart of God. Peter, sit down. I'm washing your feet, Peter. Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to curse me out, use bad words and scold a little girl after this. You're going to do all that. But Peter, I love you. I'm going to restore you. It's not about you, it's about me. And he washes Peter's feet. You see the humility and the heart of Jesus. The humility and the heart of our fathers. Pride has to die. Ego has to be brushed aside. We need to love like Jesus loved. We need to serve like Jesus served. This is the heart of the Father. Amen. Amen. So how we talk to people. How can we be prideful when the God we serve is like that? How can we talk mean to people, curse people out, when our Father is like that? When our God we serve is like that? Full of mercy, full of compassion, full of humility. Oh, help us, God. Help us, God. I am gentle and humble in spirit. That is our God. Amen. I shared this many times. I'm going to share again. When we were in India and we were praying for people, and I needed to pray for a homeless guy. He was in my line, so he's coming towards me, and I had to pray for him. And I was praying for him, but nothing. There was no response, nothing. And then in my heart, I felt this prompting to hug him, right? I shared this with you before. And I obeyed. I hugged him, and he wept right there. And there, when words fail, the human touch works. What broke him was the love and the acceptance. I did not know what all these things meant. When I read back the word, when I go through these experiences, I know that was the Father hugging him, using me to hug this man, showing him you are accepted in this place. Although you dress dirty, you don't dress like everyone here, you don't look like everyone here, but you are accepted. The Father accepts you. The Father loves you. Amen. And that one broke him, broke his heart. It broke my heart as well. We were both crying. And I also thank God, God did not ask me to kiss him. You, then I will really cry. But so where words fail, human touch. You don't know what to say. Hug. You don't know when. What I don't have the right words. But come here, I want to show you. I love you. It's full acceptance, son. You don't have to say anything. I just accept you. I just accept you. Amen. Third point, the prodigal father restores. He said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put the ring and the sandals on his feet. Three things, the robe, the ring, the sandals. The robe shows the grace of God. I'm covering you with my robe now. Your sins are covered by grace, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when I look at you, I see my robe on you. I don't see the dirty things you are wearing. It is my grace covering you, the robe. Second thing, the ring, his identity as a son. Those days, they had the signet ring. They wear the family thing right there on their ring, and they put it back. I'm restoring you as my son. I'm restoring your authority in this house. You're not going to come back as a nobody. The third one, the sandals. You are not a slave. Those days, slaves, servants, they don't wear sandals. They're barefoot. But you are my son. I'm going to put new sandals for you. The son was fine being a slave. I come back, I forfeited my sonship. It made me a slave. The father said, no, you are a son of the house. It was a total and complete restoration. When God restores you, it's a complete work. It's a complete work. Peter denied Jesus three times. And then later, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. First time. Second time. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. Third time. Peter, do you love me? Oh Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Three times you deny me. Three times I restore you. A total and complete restoration. That is how our Father works. Amen. In Daniel 3, there's a story about three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar built a huge statue of himself, a gold statue, said, everybody needs to bow down and worship this. These three young men said, no, 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 we worship the living God. We're not going to worship this. King Nebuchadnezzar gets so mad, catches them, throws them into the fire. You'll know this one, right? They were bound. And in the fire, he looked in, he saw there were four men. I threw three in and there were four. He was so mad that the fire was seven times hotter than usual. The people who were throwing them in, they got burned and they died. These guys go in, they come out, and see, in verse 27, it says, the princes, the governors, the captains, and the king's counselors all gathered together and they saw this man. There were many witnesses. Not a hair on their head was singed, neither were their clothes changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They came out of the fire without a smell of smoke. Not a single hair was singed. When God restores you, church, you come out without the smell of smoke. Total restoration. You will forget the pain you went through. Smoke also don't have. Total restoration is as though you were never thrown in any fire. I'm sure you heard of the age-old discussion, right? This husband and wife were talking. So, what do you think is more painful? The wife asked the husband. Woman giving birth or a man getting kicked in his privates? So they're saying, woman lah, no lah, that man lah. So they're talking. Then the father said, you know what? I think I know the answer. Man getting kicked in this private is definitely more pain. She said, why? Because when a woman gives birth, after 1 or 2 years later, she'll say, you know what? I don't mind having another baby. But when a man is kicked in his family jewels, he will not sit down 1, 2 years later. You know what? I think I wouldn't mind getting kicked in the nuts again. Father's Day, like, give me a break. Sorry. Horrible joke, I know. But you forget the pain, ma. So, ladies, after they give birth, they forget the pain because God has fully restored you. The baby brings so much joy, so much gladness into your life. I don't mind going through the pain again. Because you forget the pain. That's how God works. When He restores you, you forget the pain. He's going to bring you so much joy. When the right partner comes into your life, you will forget about those messed up partners that left you broken, the people who abuse you. You will forget it. No smell or smoke. When He starts to bless your business, you will forget the struggles you went through, the hard times you went through. He will turn things around. When the promotion comes, you will forget that lousy boss that you had, all the struggles you went through, because your joy is going to restore. He does a complete restoration. Amen. He gives you a new season. No smell of smoke on you. You will forget the pain. Last point. The prodigal father celebrates. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. The father celebrates you. Amen. There is joy, there is laughter in the house. Hallelujah. Isaiah 51, the Lord will comfort Israel again and have pity on her ruins. Her desert will blossom like Eden, her barren wilderness like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found there. Songs of thanksgiving will fill the air. Musicians can come here. Likewise, Message translation, likewise, I, God, will comfort Zion. Comfort all her mounds of ruins. I'll transform her dead ground into Eden, her moonscape into the garden of God, a place filled with exuberance and laughter, thankful voices, melodic songs. This is talking about how God restores. Songs of thanksgiving will fill your house. Joy, exuberance. This is the kind of restoration that the Father brings when He comes in. Amen? When He comforts you. Cannot be so serious, so angry. Christian means serious. Come to church means serious, grumpy. No, we come to the house of the Lord. There is joy. There is joy. That's why we celebrate every Sunday when we come together. Amen? So today I'd like to close with a few questions. Will you respond to this prodigal extravagant father. Maybe you're not like the son. You didn't go and do all that rubbish so far, but you feel somewhat distant from this father. I'm distant from this father. I need to come to this father. Maybe it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to come to the father. Another question. Will you forgive and show compassion like the prodigal father? Accept, forgive, overlook. Another question. Will you love like the prodigal father? Serve in humility. Humble yourself. Will you do that? Because when we come to Him like this, the Father will celebrate you. Songs of thanksgiving, songs of joy. You will forget the pain. You will forget the sorrow when He does a complete restoration of our life. Let there be joy and laughter and thanksgiving in our lives. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.